Please take your Bible and turn to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, we'll get right into it. Revelation 14. All right, and follow with me as I read verse number 1. Revelation 14 and verse number 1, it says there, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads." Now, this is chapter 14. Last week we looked at chapter 13. And we've looked in the last few weeks at chapters 12 and 13. Now, I want you to notice in your outline there that Revelation chapter 11 comes to a certain point in the development of the future events, but chapter 12 and 13 kind of backs up to look at two things before we go forward again. And it's kind of like putting the screen on pause. You know, you ever watch something, a DVD, and you put it on pause? You're kind of stopping it. Chapter 11, at the end of chapter 11, God puts it on pause, and now he gives you something that gives you some background in chapter 12 and chapter 13. Real quick, those of you that have studied this with us, in chapter 12, what does he give you a background on? What is the thing that chapter 12 is about? I'll give you a hint. It's a woman. What is it? Eric? The nation of Israel. God gives you a background on the nation of Israel because God has chosen that nation to bring forth Christ from that nation. And also, he said, before that nation must get saved before Christ can rule the world. You know, it says in the Christmas song of the angels, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, that great joy is the message of Christ and the gospel of salvation, but it also talks there about peace on earth. Do we have that? No. That has to wait for his second coming. And he will not reign and bring peace on earth until he comes again the second time. But guess what? He won't reign on earth the second time until Israel accepts him as their Messiah. And they haven't done that yet. And so that is going to happen. And chapter 12 talks about Israel and how they brought forth the Messiah and what's going to happen to Israel during the tribulation and so forth. All right, now chapter 13 talks about what? What's the key to chapter 13? If in chapter 12 you have Israel, what do you have in chapter 13? Cynthia? All right, the eight beast empires, and it starts out with the eighth of seven beast empires. And what are they? They are empires that Satan has raised up in order to defeat God's plan and defeat God's Christ. And I want to tell you tonight, the devil is against God, and the devil wants to defeat God. He's been working at it and working at it. He started out in the Garden of Eden as a serpent, and in chapter 13, he's pictured as a what? A great red. What? Dragon. A dragon is like a huge dinosaur or a powerful beast like that. And that's the way the devil's going to be at the end. He's going to have the power. And he rules through these empires of men. And each one of these seven previous beast empires have tried to destroy the Jewish people. And the eighth will be no different. They'll try to destroy the Jewish people. Now, real quickly, we gave you the seven beast empires. Can anybody rattle them off? The previous seven beast empires before this eighth beast empire in history. What are they? Just give me them real quick. Anybody? Oh, wow. Go ahead.
I have them written.
You have them written? Go ahead.
Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persian, Greece. The sixth was the Roman Empire. The seventh was Germany.
Excellent. She wrote them down and she knows them. All right. Each of those empires had a significant leader that tried to kill God's people. And the last one, the seventh one, was not mentioned in the Old Testament, but is mentioned in the New Testament. Now, the seventh beast empire was Nazi Germany under Hitler. And the Bible says one of the previous seven rulers is going to come back and the whole world's going to recognize him when he comes back, probably through cloning. And when he comes back, he's going to disguise himself. But when he takes off the mask, and we just had Halloween trick or treat. When he takes off the mask, they're going to see it's Hitler. How would you like to see Hitler coming back on the television again? Say, I'm back. He's going to come back. And when he comes back, the Jewish people are already going to make peace with him. They're all going to depend on him. And he's going to be the one that will help them. And they're not going to know until it's too late that they made a big mistake. Big mistake. All right? Now, this chapter, chapter 14, listen, picks up where chapter 11 left off. And where did chapter 11 leave off? Well, before we got to 12 and 13. Well, go back to chapter 11 a minute. Just let's go back there. And I'll give you one verse to read in chapter 11. I want you to look at verse 15 and you follow. And it says in chapter 15 of chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's where we ended up. We ended up with a blowing of what trumpet? Somebody tell me, what trumpet in chapter 11, verse 15? What trumpet's being blown? Quickly. Come on. Yes. Yay, very good. The seventh trumpet. Now, in chapter 14, verse 1, if it picks up from where we were in chapter 11, then what trumpet are we in? What trumpet now in chapter 14? Seven. There's only seven. Only seven. So we're back where we left off. Back to the seventh. Okay? Now, in that, remember the trumpet judgments. We had the seals being opened of the scroll. And then we had the trumpet judgments. Quickly, by way of review, those of you that have been here, when the seals are opened, is that the wrath of God? Yes or no? Raise your hand. Yes or no? All right, Cynthia, what is it?
No.
It's not the wrath of God. Listen, the seals are prior events that must happen before the wrath of God. And the seals are opened during what period of time, Bob?
The beginning of sorrows, the first 3.5 years.
The beginning of sorrows, the first 3.5 years. So that parallels with Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. And those seals are open, and they are the beginning of birth pangs during the first 3.5 years of the 7 years. But they are not the wrath of God. God has not poured out his wrath yet. We'll be here for that. And then in the middle of the 70th week is a period of the fifth seal. And that is the Great Tribulation under the beast. And then the sixth seal opens, and that signals the darkening of the sun, moon, and stars, and that the wrath of God is about to be poured out. And when the seventh seal is opened up, the seventh seal opens up what seven events? Marion?
Sevenfold.
Nope.
No,
the seventh seal opens up what, Eric?
Seven
trumpet judgments. We're going back. We're going back. Now, the seventh seal, very good, Eric. The seventh seal unleashes the seven trumpet judgments, and the seven trumpets contain the last trumpet when it's blown, the one we're to now, the seventh trumpet contains the bowl judgments. So the seven trumpets, the seven seals are not the wrath of God, but what are the seven trumpets? They contain the what? On earth. What do they contain? Raise your hand. Describe it. We just said it. Seven seals are not it. What are the seven trumpets? Quickly, come on. Yeah. They're the wrath of God that will be poured out on the earth. When will it start? You don't know the day or the hour. But when approximately will it start? Sometime what? Nancy?
After 3.5 years.
Sometime during the second 3.5 years. Right. After the first 3.5 years. Sometime during the second 3.5 years of the last 7 years. You see, and before the wrath of God is poured out on the earth, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, if you're a believer, what must happen to you first if you're really saved before the wrath of God is actually poured out? Mary? You're to be raptured. You're to be caught up. So the rapture is going to happen sometime during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years. Has the 7 years started yet?
No.
Hasn't started yet. The seals have not begun to be opened yet. The first seal involves false Christs, And those false Christs will be because there is a covenant that allows Israel to rebuild their temple that gives them a right to the Temple Mount. That's why we're looking at Jerusalem big time. Okay? It's all going to break upon the earth. All right, now we're up to chapter 14. And chapter 14, if you take that with 11:15, is with the blowing of what trumpet? What? This is the time frame of the blowing of the what trumpet? Real quick, number what of the trumpets?
Seventh.
Very good. And so, if you blow the seventh trumpet, the seventh trumpet contains within it seven what? Yes, but what are the judgments called?
Bowl
judgments. So at this point, that is going to happen. Now, real quickly, this chapter 14 happens after the 7 years, because the first trumpet judgments, the first six, were blown during the last part of the last three and a half of the seven years. And now the 7 years are finished. And when the seventh trumpet is sounded, it is day five after the 7 years. According to Daniel chapter 12, verse 15, there are 1,200 and so many days after the three and a half years, the final three and a half years. How many days does Daniel 12:11 tell us are left over to finish the wrath of God during the bowl judgments? Denny?
30 days.
30 days. And we're in day 5, right here in chapter 14, of those 30 days. Now listen to me. You say, Pastor, why is this important? God is a God of exactness. His word is exact. And when you understand it, you really understand. By the way, you can know whether you're saved or not based on the word of God. He's exact. Everything is definite with God. It's this way or this way, right or wrong, all right? And that's important for us. So let's go up to chapter 14. Now we looked at verse number 1, and we'll look at some of the events here that are taking place. And notice that it says that a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000 that stood with the lamb on Mount Zion. Okay? Now, where did these 144,000 come from? Somebody tell me. Where'd they come from? 144,000 on Mount Zion. Yes, Mary.
Are they the Jews?
They're the Jews. And Denny, where have they been? Or where'd they come from?
Not me.
Not you? All right. All right. Marion again?
They're the ones hiding in the cave?
They've been hiding in the caves of southern Jordan around a place we believe called Petra. And they are Jews that will be the first ones to get saved after the 70th week. You know, it takes the 7 years have to be fulfilled, the final 7 years before the Jews can be saved. They will be the first to be saved. When the Lord comes back, He will get them first out of Jordan. By the way, when the Lord comes back, He comes back to Jordan first, not to Jerusalem. He gets these Jews out of hiding. Then He hikes with them and marches with them 2 days north. 2 days north and east. I mean, it's 2 days north and west. And on the third day, what event happens? Very significant event happens. By the way, as he's marching, Jews that have been hiding in the wilderness of Judea come out of hiding. And they fall in line with him. And they begin to march with this group of 144,000. And they're marching toward Jerusalem. What happens on the third day? Big event, according to Hosea chapter 6, as they're going north. Brother Bob?
All of Israel, every last Jew is saved.
All right, Romans 11, Hosea 6. All of Israel will then be saved. There's one third of the Jews that will be left over. Two thirds will have been killed. But all of those people will recognize, yes, this is our Messiah. Yes, we should have believed in Him. They'll cry. They'll be sorry for piercing Him and crucifying Him and rejecting Him. And they'll get saved and change their mind about Jesus Christ and about accepting Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's what you should do. If you have not yet made peace with God through accepting His Son as your personal Savior, why do you put it off any longer? Do not put it off any longer. Accept Him because He's the true Christ. And there's going to be a lot of false Christs that are coming on the scene right now to try to deceive you. And you need the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Once you have Jesus in your life, you'll be able to recognize truth. You'll be able to understand the Bible. I used to not understand any of this. And I said, oh God, help me to understand it. And he showed me my sin, and he showed me I'm going to hell from the Bible. And I was like, oh. And then he showed me Jesus died for us and rose again and could save me. And I accepted the Lord. Then I began to understand the Bible a little at a time as I studied it. And so what I'm saying to you is, if you want to navigate in these perilous times, if you want to get around the false Christ, if you don't want to be deceived, as it says in Matthew 24, as Jesus warned us, let no man deceive you. If you don't want to be deceived, then you should accept Jesus Christ today, because if you don't, you will take the mark of the false Christ. And you will take the mark of the beast that the false Christ will lead you to worship, and you will be damned forever. And so it's important today, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. If I were you today, and I have not been saved, I would do it today. I would do it right now. In fact, I would say, Lord Jesus, I repent. I change my mind. I accept you. I need you as my Savior. Please do that today. And if you do that, then you will not go through the trumpets. You will not go through the bowls. You will not go through the wrath of God. You'll meet the Lord in the air and account to him for your life. And verse 2, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And verse 3 says, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which are redeemed from the earth. And so there's going to be that new song. By the way, when you get saved, you should be playing new music. You say, but I still like the old music. So does my flesh. I still like the old music. I said, so does my flesh. But God says, I'm giving you a new song. He said, my words are not your words. My ways are not your ways. Christian, get out of Egypt. Because you're going to have to make a decision here as we get to the end. Whose side are you on? Get in or get out, get on or get off. Get the junk out of your home. Get the dirty TV out of there. I walked into a home run time and knocked on the door and they invited me in. And I had my back to the TV and the couple left the TV on as I was talking to them. And I could hear a sex scene on the TV full out on some channel where two people had all their clothes off and were having sex right on the floor. That was on the TV. Now, if somebody knocked on your door, my girlfriend and I, we just coming through the neighborhood and we didn't have a place. Could we come in here and fornicate for the night? In front of your family? You'd say, get out of here. And yet, that stuff is going on. And the TV's all across America. Is it going on in your home? Stop it. And I want to say to you tonight that the Lord is coming back and he is giving us a new song and a new destiny and a new place to live. And we need to get ready for that right now. In fact, the Bible says the coming of the Lord should stir you up to be a holy person because he's holy. And so he says, I want you to be holy. By the way, the closer we get to the Lord come back, the more of this immorality you're going to see. How many have heard of Grey's Anatomy? Grey's Anatomy and shows like it are openly pushing bisexuality. Openly pushing bisexuality. And there, you're going to see the stars on that show this season, women kissing women and making out women and men both and all that kind of hogwash. And what I'm saying to you is, the closer we get to the end, the farther and farther people are going to get away from God. And the Bible says the love of many is going to wax or grow cold. Why? Because we'll be cold to God because of the stench that we're into. Hitler in his bunker just before the Allies came in and took over the bunker, everybody was no holds barred, just immorality and everything going on. And that's the way we're going to be toward the end. Now, I want you to notice, go up with me to verse 5. It says, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without guilt before the throne of God. Speaking of 144,000, he says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now, this is what I want to get to. Where are we in the time frames right now in chapter 14? We just talked about it, but I want to make sure you know where we are. Where are we? We're just before certain judgments are going to fall on the earth. So where are we? Why don't you tell me? I know Mary knows. Yes.
Well, we're aware of the 144,000 Jews accept Christ as the Savior, and all of the Jews.
That's day three, okay? All the Jews on day three? All right, okay, Mary, what judgments are we just before? They're going to come up now, the bowl judgments. So we're at day five of the 30, and the Jews have accepted the Lord. We're up on Mount Zion, and the seventh trumpet has been blown, which opens up for the bowl judgments. But before these judgments fall, which are going to fall over the whole world and be very powerful judgments. And by the way, on day 30, the last and final and ultimate judgment is called what? What is that called? That last one on day 30. Who knows? Raise your hand. Bobby?
Battle of Armageddon.
Battle of Armageddon. All right, that's the final battle. The Battle of Armageddon takes place on day 30 at the very end. That's the finishing battle. That is a battle, by the way, between all of the armies of the world. All of the armies of the world firing at Jesus, trying to knock him out of his place, along with his angels. Boy, that's a stupid thing to try to do. Stupid. But that's what the world is going to be drunk, stupid enough to do that, and think that they can knock him off. So right here, it's between the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, getting ready for the last bowl judgments between day 5 and day 30. And three things are going to happen here. Three warnings and three things are going to happen. The first warning is in verse 6, and it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Let me tell you something. Isn't God good? Where are we at this point? Where are we believers at this point? Mary? We're in heaven. We've been there for the part of that 3.5 years. So who's here to preach the gospel? Well, the Jews just got saved, but they're with the Lord. They're going to be hidden very soon from the bowl judgments. On day 5 or day 6, he hides them there. He hides them there after the Mount of Olives splits. He hides the Jews there. So they're not going to be preaching the gospel. We're in heaven. Who's left to preach the gospel to people? Who's left to warn the people who didn't take the mark of the beast that this is your last chance to be saved? By the way, let me just say this. If I read scripture right, and we'll talk about this in a minute. If you've heard the gospel and you've rejected it, I don't believe you'll have a chance to be saved. These are people that didn't hear the gospel. So don't put it off, because there are many people that live their whole life, don't even get an opportunity to get saved, to hear that gospel. You've heard it again and again and again, and you reject it, or you just don't really accept it. Oh, how foolish. And so right now, God is saying to these people, you haven't taken the mark yet. The final judgments are going to come. They're going to be over the whole world. I want to give you one more opportunity. And so here, who does he use to give the gospel? Doesn't have us, doesn't have the Jews. They're going to be hidden. Who does he use, Brother Bob?
The angels.
Yeah, an angel. It says he flies in the midst of heaven. He has the gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. He's going to use an angel. And he says with a loud voice, listen to this. He says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. By the way, interesting that he says God's the one that created everything, because who are people worshiping in the educated world today? They're worshiping the earth. They're saying the earth evolved out of out of dirt, out of a big bang. Where'd the dirt come from? In the beginning God made, or in the beginning dirt just was? You have to make a choice, because ultimately it's a matter of faith. Okay, evolution is against certain laws of science, yes, but ultimately it's a matter of faith. Either you believe in everlasting dirt or everlasting matter that just came about through time and chance, or you believe in an eternal God. I'm breaking it really down simple right now. And this angel is saying, you've believed a lie, folks, if you believed evolution. There is a God, and he made everything, and he has the gospel, and he gives them the gospel. And I believe during that time, some people will get saved. Right during that time, some people will get saved. You say, well, if they get saved, where are they going to go? To heaven? Now, what are they going to wind up doing if they get saved during that time? Brother Bob Jeske?
They're going to, after the judgments are final, they'll be brought by angels to Jerusalem,
yes,
or Zion.
Yep.
And there will be a separate judgment then, which will determine if they were saved or not.
Very good. They will be brought by angels to Jerusalem. There will be a final judgment them called Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat judgment. And they will be, it will be determined whether they were saved. And of course, they will be determined to have been saved. And they then will enter into the millennial kingdom in their earthly bodies. They will have babies in that kingdom and raise families in that kingdom of God. So there is God's grace. He's giving another opportunity. He doesn't have people to do it. Now he's got to use an angel to get the word of God out with a loud voice. By the way, I like that, because people are sleeping. They need to listen. Sometimes the preacher raises his voice so you'll hear, you'll listen. The Bible says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sin. Secondly, there's another warning. I want you to see in verse 8, it says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, and that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There is an international city that is going to make people go there and get very rich. And their wealth is going to corrupt them. The love of money is the root of all evil. Their wealth is going to corrupt them. And they're going to be very rich. And that city will be the center of the economy of the world. What country today will that city be located in? If you know, raise your hand. Jim?
Would it be Babylon?
Yeah, it's Babylon. But what country? That's the city. What country? Marion?
Iraq
today. Yes, Iraq. And so that country of Iraq, isn't it interesting? Do you know that Iraq is going to be the center of the world's wealth? It's going to be more rich than you can ever imagine. What country has helped Iraq gain peace and prosperity? Cynthia? United States, this country right here. And people talk against that, and they talk against that war and all of this, but it has given peace and prosperity. Unfortunately, the devil is going to use that in the days to come to turn it and make it to be a very selfish thing and a worldly thing. And that wealth is going to build up in Iraq. I personally believe that it will be the center of one world government, one world economy, that all the nations of the earth, the UN will be there in Babylon, and that city will be rebuilt, and the people will get filthy rich, and there'll be an economic system. I believe that the current currency will fail. The United States dollar will fail. It's the reserve currency of the world. Before the United States dollar, the British pound sterling was reserve currency of the world. We've been now for a long time. We are just on the edge, on the precipice of the failure of the dollar. Even though things seem to be going good right now, it's ready to fail. When it does, it'll be replaced, and there'll be another currency. It may be different sectors of the world will have their own currencies, like the Amero and so forth, but it'll all relate to this one world currency. Very rich, very wealthy. Businesses will flourish. It will be a time of extreme wealth. And what God is saying here, he's saying that this city has become the center of wickedness, because during this time, with all this wealth, who really has the opportunity to benefit from that wealth? during the time of the tribulation, during the time of the last 3.5 years, 7 years? Who's going to benefit from that? Well, Brother Bob?
Anyone who takes the mark.
Anyone that takes the mark. And so that wealth will be great. And if you don't have a lot of money or you don't have a lot of entrepreneurial ability, that's all right, because there will be a socialistic system as well in place, a huge safety net to take care of you. And you will have a debit card right in your own body, and you'll be able to draw a lot for anything you need, medicine and food. And it's going to be a wealthy system, probably run by a lot of oil and so forth and wealth. If you take the mark, you benefit from it. God is saying, a lot of my people have been killed through this system. And he's saying, I am announcing the judgment which will take place at the end of the 30-day period there. I'm going to judge that city, and it's going to be destroyed. By the way, who destroys that city of Babylon, and how long does it take for it to be destroyed? Who actually is the person that is used by God to destroy it? Very interesting. Brother Bob, again.
The beast and the Antichrist.
The beast and the Antichrist looks like, from what the description of it in the Bible, it looks like a nuclear bomb. They just bomb the thing. They nuke the thing, and it is destroyed. And the business people are staying away from it while they see the mushroom cloud, because they don't want the fallout to come on them. And they're weeping and they're crying because, oh man, they were so wealthy through that wealth. And so that's the second thing that God says just before these judgments. I'm going to destroy the city of the one world commercial center. And then the last thing I want you to see, the third angel, verse 9, it says, the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And it says in verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. And we say, why do you think that is so strong? That is saying, listen, that when you go to hell, you're tormented forever, or tortured. The word torment means tortured. You can't even get a drink of water. You're in a lake of fire. And you're tormented. You can't get any rest day or night. You are tormented body and soul because your body is raised. There is a resurrection of the dead for damnation. And that goes on and on and on. Why is he saying that here? What is the point of this warning here? Cynthia.
Maybe this is your absolute last chance. Get the point across, so that if you don't, if you haven't already taken that mark or whatever, and you have that chance to get saved, this is what you're going to say, huh?
Okay, but the last chance was really in the first angel. That was the one with the everlasting gospel, and that was to people that haven't taken the mark. This is more to people that have already taken the mark. Marion? Yeah. And why is that so significant here? Well, here it is. They have benefited from the false Christ, the Antichrist. They've benefited from the beast. They have lived in his kingdom in peace and in prosperity for less than 3.5 years. Whoopee-doo. Less than 3.5 years. But they thought, this is it. We've got it. This is heaven on earth. This is what we've labored for. This is a socialist utopia. Man, we've got everything we need. Universal health care, universal wealth. Nobody's poor. Everything's great. All we had to do was take the mark and ascribe to man divine attributes. We're having a great time. And it lasts for less than 3.5 years before the wrath of God and the latter day labor pains of the wrath of God begin to be poured out. And now the Lord is reminding them, you did that, remember, you took that. Now this is what you got in this bargain. Can I say something to you today, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? What will it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul forever and ever in this place? Hell is real. Universal everlasting torment is real. God does not lie. I don't like it that there's a hell. I don't like it that there's everlasting torment, but I didn't write the Bible. God did. And God says that if you do not receive salvation now, then you will take the mark because you will be deluded by Satan. Because you won't have the Holy Spirit sealing you. It says here that they don't have the seal of God in their forehead. That's in contrast to the seal of man. Thank God, if you're saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You may have a sinful nature. You may have sinned and failed God, but you have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give up on you, and He keeps leading you, and He keeps teaching you, and He keeps convicting you, and keeps on working in your life. Thank God for that. And so, I want to just say to you, God is going to give those three last things and give His warning. But listen to me, He's giving us warnings in our lives. By the way, this applies to Christians too. Bible says, he that being often reproved stiffens his neck shall suddenly be broken, and that without remedy. How does that apply to a Christian? That scripture and what we're talking about? Raise your hand if you think you know. How do those things apply to Christians, these kind of warnings and those kind of things? Yes, Cynthia?
That just because we're saved, this is what we've been saved from. That, we're just one step away from walking over to the other side and accepting that mark. That if we don't watch out, we could be suffering just like they are. We said five.
Well, if you're saved, you can't accept the mark.
No, but I'm just saying, if you're so stiff-necked, you might say, oh, well, you know, that mark sounds much better than what everything else is. And
I'm not going down that road. I want to go down a road that relates to a Christian. Yes.
He's saying if you don't pay attention to God's working in your life and God's promptings, one day He'll make His will with you.
There you go. There you go. There is always a point in time where God warns you, He woos you, He invites you, He says, this is my will for your life, I speak to you. But if you continue not to listen to my will, then I'm going to let you suffer the consequences as a Christian. That doesn't mean hell, that doesn't mean taking the mark, but you'll suffer the consequences of God's chastening in your life. Somebody marries the wrong person. They've been warned and warned and warned, but now you're married. Make the best of it. Somebody does something, God says don't do it, and they do it, and then they have a bad accident in a car, and somebody's maimed, and they have to go to jail. God warned them and warned them, warned, stay away from the alcohol. They didn't listen. Hey, they didn't listen. They wind up in jail. Could some of you wind up in jail here? Yes, you could wind up in jail. You could wind up chastened by God. Why? Even though you're a child of God, because you don't listen and you don't do what God wants you to do. And so as a child of God, we need to listen to what God says. All right? Now, we're just about out of time, so I'm going to show you next week what we're going to look at. If you'll go up with me in chapter 14 and notice what it says. It says in chapter 14, here is the patience of the saints, verse 12. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And next week we're going to look at chapter 14, verse 14 to the end. We're going to see two harvests that are going to come up. And we'll talk about those two harvests that God's going to talk about. But when He says, here is the patience of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints. Now, He's just talked about the wrath of God on those that take the mark. So what do you think He's talking about when He says the patience of the saints? Brother Babajewski.
Well, patience, in that context, isn't like we think of patience today. That okay. Patience is perseverance under pressure. And He's saying that these saints are persevering. This is what they're working towards, and there's going to be a reward for them.
Very good. Matthew 24, verse 13. Jesus commented on this scripture. It says, he that, as Bob just said, he that endures till the end shall be saved. Well, what's he talking about? Enduring to the end of what in Matthew 24:13? He that endures to the end shall be saved. And what's saved talking about? We're not saved by perseverance or endurance. But this is a different kind of saved. He that endures to the end shall be saved. I know Brother Bob knows this, but does anybody else know it? What is enduring to the end of what? In Matthew 24:13. Now, he's just talked about those that took the mark. So, and they're going to go to hell now. But those that endure the end, they're not going to hell. So what is he talking about? Endure the end of what, Denny?
Towards the end of time where you don't take the mark and you're going to be persecuted and so forth.
Yes.
But you're going to make it to the end.
Yes.
If you have the opportunity. Why didn't you take that mark?
Right on. Right in the middle of the 7 years, that's when the mark will be offered. You take it or reject it. If you don't take it, like Denny just said, you're going into persecution, or it's called the Great Tribulation. If you don't take the mark and you're saved, you'll be able to persevere through that time until you're saved. How will you be saved? By the rapture. Jesus will rapture you out of that. It won't even last the whole 3.5 years. God's going to cut it short. You'll be raptured out of that. Now, that's verse 12. It's patient. But notice verse 13. It says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Some of those people that are enduring are going to be what? Killed in the Lord. Martyred. He said, that's all right. Blessed are they, because they're going to be rewarded. They're going to be rewarded. They're not going to lose their reward. They're not going to lose anything. That's why that's in there right there. So dead or alive, you're all right. If you're saved, you don't take the mark. And once again, I tell you today, accept him as your Savior and get baptized. That doesn't save you, but it's a mark that shows that I am saved. Just like a person wears a wedding ring, says, I'm married. Baptism is a mark that says, I'm saved. All right? And when you get saved, you're baptized or immersed by the Holy Spirit into Christ, into his body. All right, let's bow for prayer and ask God to bless us in these days. Father, we do need your blessing, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ and those that are saved and what we have, the kind of protection we have, the kind of truth we have, the kind of promises we have, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We need it. I pray if there's anybody here that just has not yet come to Christ for salvation, Lord, that you would prick their hearts right now and that they would accept him as their Savior and that you'd bless them. We know you will, Lord, and we pray that we who are here, that we would not be ignorant of the truth of your word. Help us to live it out, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll see the end of chapter 14 next week. You can read ahead.